Especially the super kind. But if yours are that big, see a doctor.
If you're walking around with one Dragon Ball and one Super Dragon Ball, you may need your prostate checked.
Yeah. Oh, especially if you have the little star dots on one of them.
Ooh.
Or both.
Ooh. Yeah, you should get some. You should worry about your Florida
State. Have genital warts.
Yeah, you start worrying about your Florida State seminal vesicles.
I always thought Florida was more of like a really diseased looking scrotum. And Maine is like the stubby dick of America.
Yeah. And if you really are perverted and you look at the Great Lakes of Michigan, look to the left, because most people don't know the name of the lakes anyway. Look on the left side of Michigan, and it looks like a droopy dong. That's Lake Michigan. Just saying. And incest is still legal in Maine. Yep, it's still legal.
Did you just look that up again?
I did. I love looking that up.
When was the last time that you looked that up? I remember that being a recurring thing before.
The last time I looked it up, probably like a month ago, because it's been a while. I gotta keep up with the times, you know.
What, do you have like relatives in Maine that you just want to keep your options open at this point?
No, still planning the ultimate Mother's Day gift.
Don't need to go into that anymore. So, hey, this is Relative Rewind, everybody.
So, yeah, perfect. Follow the relatives. Oh, man.
Speaking of relatives.
Just relatively speaking.
This is Relative Rewind, a show where we talk about...
Well, apparently everything.
Real estate investments. That's what we talk about.
We definitely do.
Is your mortgage underwater?
Oh, yeah. Dallas is underwater, so.
Well, too bad. Well, I mean, think about Miami or a lot of places that are going to be in the ocean pretty soon.
Can you show me where your AMI is? I don't understand. You said Miami. I'm lost. Where's your AMI?
Oh, well, look for the other parts of the alphabet. Take the third right, walk up the street to Ted. You'll just know his name is Ted when you see him. And then you ask him for the noodle bop, and he'll point you to a bar across the street. Order a local beer from the nice person behind the counter, and they'll give you a receipt with a secret code on it. And you take that secret code... And you go get on an internet cafe in the 3-block radius. And at that internet cafe, you type that code in. And it will unlock the keys to a buy one, get one free sale at your local Home Depot. And when you go to Home Depot, it has to be the one half a mile up the road where Steve Reitzger is the manager. So you ask to speak to Steve Reitzger, and... he'll give you a voucher for a free high five from a C-list celebrity when you see him. Does that answer your question?
Steve Reitzger. So specific. Oh, damn. I haven't seen him in a while. What's he up to these days? Still fighting a male pattern baldness?
Yep. Okay. Still Home Depot-ing, if that's a verb.
He'd be Home Depot. Oh,
better than a Home Despot. That is, I guess. Yep.
Well, matter of perspective. I don't know. Yeah, probably.
All right. So this is a new season.
Yeah, season new two, series
return.
Two.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's been almost a year since our last episode, I think. Right.
Yeah, it's we're knocking on the door of a year, which is
yep.
Oh man, it's been like aching me in the pelvis. I think that's what it's been. We need.
Speaking of reasons to see a doctor.
Yeah, it might have been all the dust that this microphone's been collecting. It's still in your face and it's not been used or cleaned. I don't know. What is this hair? Okay, anyway.
All right, so where we left off last time, we were in the Goku Black Saga. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's a relatively a good way to put it.
Future Trunks Saga is what Wikipedia calls it.
Like what? Future Trunks Saga number 17?
I was going to say, there's a lot of Trunks sagas, and a lot of them involve the future.
Like, dude, stop it. Somebody take his keys away or something like that. Like, you're screwing with too much.
Well, did you know that Emperor Pilaf could code, though?
No. No. That was, speaking of code, we're on episode 54 right now. And, yeah, I did not... That was the most surprising thing about episode 54 to me, was that Pilaf's just like, oh, this is so archaic and this and that. And he's just going through Bulma's computer.
I'm
like,
going to fix this.
And he's just like, oh, move this here, move that there. And I'm like actually trying to read some of the codes and stuff. Of course, it's like squiggly lines. But I'm like, where did he learn this? But his point was very valid, though, if you remember what he said. He's like,
what did he say?
You can't rule the world without knowing how to code. Which is true. Nerds rule the world.
That is true, but I think back to, like, if the technology in modern day Dragon Ball Super is equivalent to where we were technologically when the original series or manga started back in the late 80s and late 80s.
That was coding specific. Late 80s.
Late 80s, you know.
Been hanging around Steve Reitger too much.
I have. He gave me the voucher for the high five.
They are so pleasant, aren't they?
Yeah, I got a high five from Randy Quaid and Joey Travolta just last week.
Joey Travolta?
Yeah.
Is he a Scientologist?
You never heard of Joey Travolta?
Does he have the dimple, or is he a Scientologist? He's got to be one or the other.
I think he might have both.
Okay.
I didn't ask. I just wanted the high five.
He has Scientology? Like, it's infectious?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That's how that works.
So
yeah, Bulma's putting the finishing touches on the time machine because Goku Black blew up the other one. So they got Cell's old one? Am I remembering that correctly?
I do believe so. I mean, it's been a while, but yeah, I mean, it's coming back to me. Knocking the rust off, yeah. Just like they did with Cell.
Yeah, so he blows it up. He's like, ha, ha, ha. And then she refurbishes it, and then Capsule Corp guy, Bulma Dad, take time goo and go, that looks like enough, and then puts it in the time machine, and Future Trunks spars with present Vegeta, and Vegeta shows him Super Saiyan Blue, and he's like, I want to show you something. Zip. You ever seen anything like this before? And then he's like, no, Dad, I haven't. And he's like, well, if you land one hit, I'll give you a kiss. Just kidding. You'll win if you hit me once. And so, does this Future Trunks, can he only go the bulky thing? Because Vegeta says, oh, you're still relying on that bulky transformation. Is that Super Saiyan 2?
That's what I was just going to ask you, too. I'm stuck on that. I don't know. I think so. I do think so. But the longer hair like that, it's implying three, but still not quite long enough to be three. So I don't know. Let me see here. I'll look it up as you catch us back up. But, yeah, continue about the father-son fight.
Oh, well, Goku has the best line, I think, of the entire series when he tells Bulma about Vegeta fighting Trunks when he says, your husband and your son from the future are fighting. Which is a line of dialogue that I need to be in every time travel movie now.
Yeah, he's like, your husband and your son are fighting. You don't want to miss this.
Well, no, your son from the future.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
In most other time travel stories, there would be some sort of McFly sibling vaporization or disappearance.
Yeah, this.
But in this case,
the space-time continuum doesn't seem to exist at all in this universe because Trunks keep. Yeah, Trunks, he just keeps poking it, and I mean, he's doing a good job of keeping the same timelines, like keeping it relatively the same, not causing two major waves in it. But dude, at some point, just stop. Like, put the bottle down of the blue goo. Stop time traveling. But yes, that is Super Saiyan 2, where he's got all the big, huge hair and all that stuff.
Has every other form of Super Saiyan 2 had that bulkiness to it?
No, that is Trunks exclusive.
Because I was going to say, I don't remember Gohan getting like that.
Never.
When he went Super Saiyan 2 back during the Perfect Cell Saga. Yeah. Or Cell Games, I guess is what they called it.
Yes, it was a Cell Games. And yeah, all he did was kind of like cut up a little bit more, and his hair just did basically the same thing, got really spiky and a bit more vertical and tighter. It's not a bad quality.
Yeah, so Vegeta and Trunks fight, what good? And
of course Vegeta then wins. Well, the fight aspect. Because what caused, okay, one thing led to another, and Trunks ended up on the ground. And he's like kneeling down, and he's like, I don't want to say cowering, not cowering at all. Like, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. He just kind of weeping a little bit, whatever. And Vegeta calls him a dumbass. And then as Trunks goes to get up, like super quick, he just headbutts Vegeta or something like that. And he's like, yeah, who's
a
dumbass?
Yeah, he's like,
now
does that count as me landing a blow?
Yeah, he actually, I mean, he won. It's a little unconventional, but just by this point in Dragon Ball universe, everything's unconventional. It's the only way to be any good at anything.
Well, yeah, we've got Destroyer Gods and Grand Zenu and all that. Speaking of Grand Zenu, he makes an appearance again after the tournament thingamajiggy. But first, we go to what is it called where Zamasu and the Kai, like the, is it an Elder Kai or Supreme Kai of that, of the seventh universe, that Zamasu, or is that?
You cut out for a good, like, 5 seconds on my end.
Oh, I was asking what we call the planet and what the Kai title is for the
yellow guy?
Yeah, the yellow guy where Zamasu is. Like, what universe is that in?
I think that's like another kind of lookout tower or something like that. Like another.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Like another level of like lookouts. Like you look at this area of the Earth, you're looking at this planet, you're looking at this universe. Like just steps, I think. I don't know.
Well, when I was a kid, I remember I always got so confused about Korin's lookout and then Kame's lookout. I thought they were the same place for a while.
They are.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're in the same structure. Kame's, or Korin's lookout is like kind of where it starts widening out. Because if you remember, it's like a super thin support that goes down to Earth, down to the ground. And then it like widens out kind of like a top.
Branches up, yeah.
Yeah, and then somewhere in that widening out is Korin's tower. And then all the way at the top is Kame's tower.
Oh, okay.
Yep, it's
because I just remember, I remember Goku climbing it in, was it Dragon Ball?
Yes. Yep.
And that's where he meets Yajirobe and finds out about the Senzu beans and everything. I remember that part.
Yep, you get pretty familiar with Kame's lookout if you play, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, which is one of the more relatively newer games. There is, breaking news, too. I forgot, since it's been a while. There's a new Dragon Ball Z game coming out.
And there's a new Dragon Ball Super movie in theaters right now that you could all go see.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Super Superhero.
Superhero.
Little lazy of a title, but I kind of get it. I mean,
I think it might be one of those translation things where there is no other way to take it from the Japanese meaning and translate it directly into English, and superhero is just the most accurate. Or maybe the title was too similar to another previous Dragon Ball movie release, and they didn't want it to be confused with a past one. Those are just my guesses. I don't know. I'm not a weeb or someone who knows a lot about like Japanese translations and culture. I just know that some translations are hard to pull off because a lot of other languages don't have words for stuff.
Yeah, less words in the vocabulary because they don't necessarily have everything that we do, too. Okay, so...
Well, our...
Nope, that's not it.
What are you looking for?
I'm trying to find some more out about this movie.
Oh, superhero?
Yeah, so what pops up? I just typed it in on Bing because why the hell not? Just typed in Dragon Ball Super, superhero. It says showtimes for my area. And then scrolling down a little bit, shows some screenshots. And then says Goku. And then Goku has always been the hero of Dragon Ball, but he's also leaned more into his identity as an Earthling due to the bump on the head that all but erased his memory of his Saiyan heritage. So it's referencing Dragon Ball. However, Dragon Ball Super's Granola arc has been building a subplot about how Goku needs to reach the next evolution of the Ultra Instinct power. So this is way beyond where we're at. Because it's talking about
Okay, so
Granola.
I shouldn't rush out and go see this.
No. It's not like Top Gun 2 where you have to see it on the best, you know, screen, biggest screen, and have the best sound system. No, this one I would say wait.
Oh, I saw that in IMAX. That was one of the best theatrical experiences I've ever had.
Everybody is saying that. I was listening to a podcast, I forget which one. I think it was the Video Gamer podcast or This Week in Tech. I can't remember. Anyway, one of the guys was saying he went and saw Top Gun 2 in the theater. Forget which one, but it was a 4D theater. Yeah, like there was environmental changes. Like if it was they're flying through clouds, there'd be like a light fog going on in the theater. If they were crashing, the seat would vibrate. You know, you get the picture. Like if something was burning, you would smell burning wood. It's pretty cool. And he even said it snowed in the theater because for some reason. Top Gun has snow. If they do, don't spoil it. I haven't seen it.
It's definitely worth seeing.
Yeah,
go see
that's it. What I hear. I'm going to have to get an 8K, like, 90-inch TV to somewhat do it justice, I guess.
Okay, so back to non-superhero Dragon Ball Super superhero. Dragon Ball Super superhero. Dragon Ball Super : superhero. Just so that I actually am doing the title justice.
Yeah, the dashes and colons and lazy things have been going on lately, like Grand Theft Auto, the definitive edition, but it only has half the soundtrack. That's not definitive, but that's another show.
So on Beerus's planet, food porn continues because Saiyans and Destroyer Gods all love and love fucking eating and chowing down on some goddamn food whenever they want to. Just, yeah.
Makes you wonder what Chi-Chi does with a bottle of, like, ranch in her free time.
Probably puts it on food.
Some could call it food. I don't know. My mind just automatically went there. Why ranch? I have no idea.
I was going to say ranch?
Yeah, just straight ranch. I don't do it. I mean, I personally could chug a, you know, bottle of maple syrup. I haven't, but I could. But definitely, I would do maple syrup before a bottle of ranch. That's too much.
Oh, we forgot to mention the mental training that Trunks is doing. It's kind of like a mental shadow boxing where he's fighting Goku Black in the future, in the early parts of the first episode we're talking about, and he's sort of standing on like a pond or a lake, and then he's sort of going through different moves that he would do, so sort of like gaming out exactly what kick or punch to land, and then yeah. So
that is called image training. And then what's funny,
image training, that's what it's
what's
called.
Funny about that is we're kind of go to the end of the episode now to the front, we're Tarantino-ing this one, is Mai gets told by who told her. Mai gets told that's image training because she's like, oh, what's Trunks doing? Because he had a drop of blood actually go from his nose into the river or whatever it was.
It wasn't Vegeta.
No, it was like Yajirobe or something like that. Some like C list.
Yajirobe
character.
Isn't there.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, man, who was it? I can't remember. Anyway.
I don't think it matters.
It really doesn't matter. And so Mai tries it out. And of course, this is typical 9-year-old girl. Well, deeper.
She's not nine.
Deeper,
remember?
Yeah, I had to stall there. I'm like, yeah, no, it is. You know, that long discussion that we had on that hour and a half long episode, I think it was. It was a long one.
She's an adult that wants to fuck an actual kid that is chronologically not her same age, but also kind of her same age. I don't know. Listen back to that one. That's a hard one.
It's a hard one, but
wrap my head around.
Right here, she's thinking like a typical 9-year-old girl, and she's using image training. And it's, from what I remember, it was like Trunks kind of floating toward Mai, and she's like laying like, she's on her back, like dying or super
help.
Tired. Yeah, she's like that, help, help. Trunks floats over, is like, what can I do? She's like, there's only one thing you can do. He's like, I'll do anything for you.
And then puckers her lips out.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, now I'm in the mind of every 9-year-old. Where's the Barbies or the Hello Kitty? Just kill me now. But yeah, that was a good little intro to it. You know, add the comedy in the beginning because that was a good episode to start back from.
Yeah, you know, a little filler, some backstory, and then we cut to Beerus and Whis about to eat, and then
Beerus is knuckle deep in sauce. While
yes, and he makes Beerus have
what?
To answer
no, not
the
Beerus.
Whis staff
knuckle
phone
deep in sauce while Beerus
Whis, yeah.
Somebody was
and he answers it. Yeah, that was Whis.
Yeah.
And the Omni King, the god
Grand Zeno,
god of gods. Yeah, Grand Zeno, or Zenny as Goku calls him later. Calls and he says, "I want to speak with Goku." And Beerus is all like, "But why?"
And
then to round out the episode, we then cut back to Zamasu, which over the course of these episodes very much makes clear that Goku, Beerus, and Whis going to visit that universe's like thing where the person with quote unquote similar energy, they created the very circumstances for Zamasu to become the person that they were afraid that he was going to be.
It's the classic story of the snake eating its own tail, and this is the part where the tail actually hits the snake's throat, thus starting the cycle. It's
right. So there's a planet called Babari that the Supreme Kai of that universe is looking over with Zamasu, and they're kind of like these dinosaurs with clothes that are like said to be, you know, primitive, and they're like at war with each
dinosaurs
other
acting,
over the millennia.
Dinosaurs acting like cavemen.
Yeah. Yeah, dinosaur cavemen. We've all seen 2001 A Space Odyssey. It's not that remarkable.
I still haven't.
So they're at war, and then Zamasu's like, oh, the life, they're ruining it. Why do mortals do that? Why do they have free will and give them the brains when they could be wise and they refuse to? Oh, it's Gawasu. That's his name. And it's the 10th universe. 10th universe is where it is.
Got it. Okay.
Okay. Okay. So Gawasu is, he's telling Zamasu, and he says, this tea doesn't taste quite right. And I'm like, is he like pissing in his tea?
It's cool.
But then I realized that it's somehow his energy or like his evil is seeping into the tea leaves.
Which is pointed out later. Yep.
Yes, when the tea becomes more mirror-like and darker. So he's like, well, this race will never be able to do that. So why do the gods just watch rather than actually getting in there and removing all the vermin species? And he says, well, you must be patient. Let's use the time ring and go back to the future, Marty. And he's like, who's Marty? And he's like, never mind. That's not important.
We don't talk about him anymore. Not after the trooper showed up.
What are you, chicken?
What are you looking at, butthead? Anyway.
Shit!
I hate manure. $300. Oh, man. So, yeah, it is shown that this is kind of important that the box containing the time ring has four other rings to it. It's like
green
rings.
Yeah, there
are four emerald rings in on the top row, and then on the bottom row, it's one time ring. And the time ring is the present timeline, and then the four emeralds rings are four alternate timelines that are basically trying to be covered up and hey, you see this, but don't do this. So I like anytime,
right, they're kind of these,
anytime you tell somebody not to do something, you know what's coming.
Yeah, these were the rings that Beerus had checked when him, Goku, and Whis went to Universe 10 and Goku fought Zamasu to see if he was had the same energy as Goku Black. And he has to check the Gowasu, that Supreme Kai's time rings. And he was like, oh, well, I guess they haven't used it, so not evil. And then he put the official not evil stamp poof, on the box and on their foreheads, and then they left. But so I guess the four emerald rings, from what they were saying, represent times that people used the time ring to, because the time ring can only go into the future and not into the past.
No, it's too delicate to go into the past, is what he said. He didn't say it couldn't.
Oh, okay.
He's like, don't, because it's like, basically, sure, you could put your hand in fire, but don't, kind of thing, you know?
Okay, so the four emerald rings represent four different times in that universe that somebody has disrupted the timeline so significantly to create an alternate timeline.
Well,
but I'm not sure why you need a ring for that. Does that just let you visit that alternate timeline or universe?
That is somehow the vessel that allows you to do it, which when they actually use them and go that 1,000 years into the future, it's, I want to say it's just typical anime fashion where it's not quite Captain Planet-ish or anything like that, but they do like join rings and say this at the same time.
Yeah, Wonder Twins.
Yes,
stuff.
Exactly. I was struggling for the name. I was thinking Johnny Depp. Not Johnny Depp. Oh, man. Help me out.
Johnny Bravo?
No, Johnny Bravo. What's the old... Johnny Quest.
Quest. Yeah, I was going to say Johnny Quest.
Yeah, so racist now.
Johnny Bravo Quest.
Oh my God, that would be hysterical.
Or otherwise known as the Venture Brothers.
Yep, this is true. This is true.
Which is better than Johnny Quest?
Johnny Quest still holds up as... it's still... The time... The plot and everything's good. It's good for the time, but I don't know. A lot's changed.
It's better than Speed Racer?
I never got into Speed Racer, so I can't say much on that.
Me neither, but...
I won't say it's
better. We're
talking
about things that are contemporaries.
Yeah, this is true. And very subjective, too. Because now we're going to have fans coming after us and be like, ugh! I'm like, no, we didn't know. One side, the other, it doesn't matter.
Okay, so apparently only an official Supreme Kai can use the time ring. So Gowasu temporarily promotes Zamasu to a Supreme Kai to use the time ring so that they can both go into the future to look at the planet Babari to see if the dinosaur race is still, excuse me, at war, I guess?
If they're still uncultured, violent.
Yeah, or they haven't, like, reached prosperity, whatever that looks like. So they get into the future at the beginning of the next episode. The Babari still haven't. They're at war. They've got slightly more advanced weaponry, but they're still clubbing each other to death. And one of them tries to attack Gawasu and Zamasu, and against Gawasu's scolding, Zamasu attacks and kills one of the Babari, and his energy, which was green when he fought Goku, is darkened to an almost black when he kills the Babari, and then Gawasu makes them go back to the planet in the 10th universe, and Zamasu hasn't changed his mind about needing to step in and exterminate evil mortals or imperfect things, and Gawasu tells him that good and evil is more about balance than anything else.
You can't.
It felt like a philosophy class.
It did. It's true though. You can't have good without evil, because how are you to judge if you have no parallels or no opposites? You know what I mean?
Opposites. Yeah.
So, yeah. Just, you're right. It further trickles more gas on Zamasu's inner fire for the most part. But you did forget a part, though. You did forget what's his name? Gamora?
Gawasu,
that's the one. When he promotes Zamasu, he gives him a Supreme Kai, whatever rank he is.
The earring, yeah.
And he's like, make sure you put this on whichever ear it was. You know what'll happen if you put it on this one. And he's like, Zamasu's like,
oh, it has to be the opposite ear that he has the earring on. Otherwise, if it's on the same ear, they'll fuse together.
The same ear or the opposite ear?
The same ear will lead to fusing. Opposite ear is not fusing.
Okay. So, yeah, that it's reveal. So it's just screaming to me this was an origin, the beginning of an origin story, which is fine. It's a great way to kick it off.
But I mean, we've already seen that with the earrings from,
exactly, yeah.
Back in Dragon Ball Z, where the Supreme Kai fused with, what's the pink guy's name?
Majin Buu?
No, not Majin Buu, the older guardian of the Supreme Kai. Who he fuses with.
Oh, I forget his name. That's a really obscure one, too. But yeah, yes, we did. I think that's where they had to, where those came from. And then, which ultimately leads to, what, Gogeta and Vegeto or whatever it was? That was back in Z.
Yeah, Vegeto. Mm-hmm.
That was back in Z. Yeah. Never much cared. They looked cool, but I never much cared for it. And I'm glad they got rid of fusion. Well, yeah. So that leads us into...
I didn't hate it that much.
It wasn't bad. I mean, when Gotenks happens, hey, that's fine because, you know, you're taking two kids together and they're goofing off and being overly theatrical and stuff. That's always good to watch. That's good fun. But...
Okay, so back to Universe 7. Zeno asks to see Goku. Whis and Beerus are like, hey, Goku, you gotta come with us. And he's like, oh, man, I wanted to go back to the future.
And that's when Whis tells Goku and Beerus that he, even with his fast traveling, it would take 2 days to get to the palace of Grand Zeno, and then 2 days back. So, like,
but Supreme Kais can instantaneously travel to the Grand Zeno's
palace.
Palace. It's a palace? Yep. Yeah. But everyone's afraid of Grand Zeno because he's the god of gods, basically.
He can destroy basically all of existence if he really wanted to, which...
Yeah, with the snap of fingers. Yep. And then we find out that the destroyer god of each universe can be dies if the Supreme Kai counterpart is also killed.
The thing about being that, yeah, that is a critical part, and Goku really, he's like, I know your weakness now, and then Beerus instantly regrets ever saying anything about it. But
well, he didn't say anything. It was Whis that told Goku about it.
That, oh, yeah, that is true. Well,
when he was talking about it's going to take 2 days, but the Supreme Kai can somehow.
No, I'm
he
saying,
mentioned
yeah.
It.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. You're oh. right. But the funny thing is speaking of the palace, of course, in typical Goku fashion, they get to the palace, and what's the first thing he does when he sees the Grand Minister? Looks at Whis and Beerus, and he's like, I wonder what he would be like in a fight. His energy's kind of fun, or whatever. And they're like, oh,
the Grand Minister.
The little, yeah.
Who's not.
With
yeah,
the Johnny Bravo haircut.
Supposedly the. Yeah, the Johnny Bravo haircut, but he looks more like the Seventh Universe's Supreme Kai. But he's like really a lot shorter with a lot longer hair. And also, question. So the Supreme Kai, he unfused with the Pink Guardian guy.
He did.
At some yeah. point.
I don't think we.
How? Because I thought that was permanent.
Yeah. I think it gets explained a little bit later. Because they only made such a such a small appearance in this one that, like, it's not really. It's like, hey, this happened, but we don't have time right now. I really think it comes later.
You think it was probably just one of those Dragon Ball wishes that just happened?
I don't think it was that extreme, but it could have been, because that is. It takes some tough voodoo to undo that. Voodoo to undo? Yeah, that's a thing.
Undo to voodoo. So they get to Zeno's palace. Goku's like, excuse me, I'm trying to have a time travel plot here. And Zeno says, I just wanted a friend and you're fun. Can we play? And he says, we can play, but I have to go take care of something. And I'll return with a better friend for you to play with when I do come to play with you, so that when I'm gone, you can play with them. And then Goku was like, I just made it up on the fly. I don't actually have somebody specifically in mind when I said that.
So Goku and Zeni, formerly Zeno, when they're interacting, the funny thing is right in here in this episode, Goku does not look intelligent at all throughout the whole thing. Everyone's telling him, be on your best behavior, and he's like, well, it's not that big of a deal. And they're all like, yes, it is. And be on your best behavior. He's like, all right, fine. Then fast forward, now Zeni and Goku are hanging out. They do discuss that being Goku bringing a friend that'll be better to play with, and then Zeni gives him a button, and it kind of reminded me of a Meeseeks button, because when it's pushed, Zeni appears, and then so what's the first thing that Goku does with it? He fucking pushes Zeni's button.
He presses
in Zeni's hand, and then Zeni's like, it doesn't make sense to push it now because I'm already there, you see. Like, but Goku, of course, button push. He just start. It's just an ongoing thing in this episode, as we'll later discover.
Well, he even asks at one point, "Do I look like the kind of guy who would forget to not be like to be respectful?" And everyone just says,
"Yes,
yeah, yeah, you do, buddy. We love you, but you are." And they come up and they're even like, are you going to wear something more formal? And we says, well, we can just say that we can just say that we were trying to get here as fast as we could, so we didn't have time.
Which, when they actually get there, they do try apologizing to the Grand Minister about Goku wearing his, would you call that a gi? Or
yeah.
Martial arts fighting uniform.
I'm not an expert on clothes.
But they're like, oh, we're sorry. He's not more, you know, dressed up and such. And he's like, I believe that is the most important piece of clothing you own, isn't it, Goku? And he's like, it is.
Oh,
and he's like, well, if it means that much to you, you're fine. You're good.
All right, so Goku Supreme Kai's like, Goku, how could you do that? And Beerus is like, he could just destroy us, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, I'll figure something out. But the important thing is that Goku, Trunks, and Vegeta all pile into the the minivan of the time capsule thing with the time goo and go back to the future to fight Goku Black, because Trunks thinks that they can take him on.
And
so they get to the future, and then the resistance fighters take out their future guns and point them at Goku, and he's all, man, the future sure looks pretty bleak. I hope I don't get shot at. Oh no, I got shot at! And Trunks somehow uses the Z-Sword to cut through the bullets?
Well, even before that, what's really funny is the whole episode opens up to Trunks proudly proclaiming to these, like, paramilitary men or whatever. He's like, hold your fire. This man isn't black. And they're all like, oh, wait, what? And it's all these uniformed guys just point. Like, I thought that was kind of funny. But that's just my sense.
Because they all think he's Goku
Black.
Well,
it's the same thing. Yeah, and just to proclaim, hey, this man isn't black. Like, okay, that's kind of, you know.
Yeah, we can see that. We can see that. Nobody mistook him for what you think black is.
But yeah, he what Trunks did, it did look like he used the Z-Sword to cut through the missiles or projectiles that they were launching at Goku, whatever. Yeah. The not black Goku.
Yeah, so we finally meet more people in the future that aren't my dead Bulma or Trunks or Goku Black. Because those were the only like four or five people that we've seen there in the limited snippets that we have. He's like, oh no, my, she was laying right there when I left her. And then it turns out she's alive and the resistance has found an underground place. And they had moved to this underground subway thing. And Bulma had capsulated some food for them that they...
You get...
That Vegeta
you
uses.
Get let down right there, because Vegeta just kind of walks away from everything that's going on. And like, Vegeta, what are you doing? And I think it was Trunks that's like, Father, what are you doing? Or whatever. And he just like throws the capsule out. And then, the whole capsule, like a giant feast. And I'm like, oh, wait, Vegeta's got a heart. We may see a little bit of a turn in him again. And he turns around and he's like, Bulma made me do it. I'm like, yep, there it is. That asshole's back. We all love you, Vegeta. You don't even try.
She's so magnificent. He's like, well, yeah, she's my wife.
Yeah, nobody touches his Bulma. But yeah, if you notice, the only survivors in a whole huge town, there was only like 24 of them, which is kind of sad. Although that town was pretty fucked up.
And that's where we see Yajirobe, who was not part of the resistance, but only shows up when there's food. And also, he has a beard now. He was assumed to have died when the androids attacked Korin's lookout, but took a senzu bean. Did the androids destroy Korin's lookout?
No, because...
In the android saga?
No, because Dende's still there, unless somehow that got rebuilt. Because Dende's up in...
Or,
Kame's lookout with Mr. Popo.
Or are they talking about in future, like in Dragon Ball Z, there's the future timeline where the androids, where Goku dies from the thing and the androids kill everybody and it's Gohan and Trunks left, and then Gohan dies and Trunks goes back to the past to save Goku from the health thing. In that future timeline, maybe the androids destroyed the lookout and it was never repaired.
Possibly.
When Trunks went back to defeat the androids after the events of the Cell sagas.
The thing about all this is, like, thinking of how all these time jumps are going on, because there's, if you really think about it, there's Android Saga, Future Trunks, there's Cell Saga, Future Trunks, there's this Future Trunks. Yeah, we need a video episode and a dry erase board to follow all this. It's really getting hard.
We need Doc Brown from Back to the Future Part 2 to like lay out the...
It won't be to scale.
I have a hard time believing that there's only...
It won't be to scale.
No. I have a hard time believing that there's only four fucking ripples or like emerald rings with how much fuckery with the timeline
they're
is.
They're all
so
from
like,
Trunks.
Only the Supreme Kai.
They're all from Trunks.
All of them are from Trunks.
Actually, Trunks fucks with time so damn much that he has a whole Dragon Ball video game based around time travel. And even in the intro to it, like after you create your own character and all that, there's like a time police or whatever time cap. He's like, oh yeah, people can't just go skipping through time without consequences being done on either party. And he's like, the camera like pans over to Trunks. He's like, didn't we learn our lesson, Trunks? He's like, yeah, I kind of did. Like Goku's all shy and stuff, but it's like, dude, just stop. But I mean, he's got a cursed future no matter what he does. Don't make Trunks your friend. Don't trust people with blue hair.
Don't trust people from the future with blue hair.
Yeah. There's a life lesson there, kids.
I learned that from Sesame Street.
And the other thing, too, is the word barbarous gets used a lot in this saga. Just because...
Well, I mean, the planet is called Babari.
Yeah, they're acting...
So the word barbarous...
They're the barbarous
is...
species from Babar that... You know, have a
You know, the Babaris, Babaris, Barbarians from the planet Babari and Babaris.
It's the whole...
In Barbados.
It's the whole planet Vegeta, Prince Vegeta, King Vegeta thing all over again. We've seen all this before.
I am Negan. You are Negan.
We are Negan. Oh, God, they got us trained on that, don't they? Little subliminal. So after Vegeta gives Goku Black a taste of Super Saiyan Blue, Goku Black responds with revealing Super Saiyan Rosé.
Oh, how did they... We should probably say that how they found Goku... How Goku Black found them?
Oh, yeah. How did they?
Or how they found
how
him?
How did that happen? Oh, they... Yeah, no, you said they went to the future. They went to the future, or back to future Trunks' time, present time. Dry erase board. Here we go. To lure out Goku Black, because they're like, okay, we got a new form. We could take him on now. And then he's like, you went blue, I went rosé. Which makes me...
Which looks more pink than anything.
It really does. I mean, but if you, like, see a like a figurine or, like, a vinyl figure of Goku Black rosé, it'll seem a little more reddish, pinky. I don't know what's that word called, not rosé. Salmon. Salmon's a good way to explain it. Yeah.
Yeah, that is. I can picture exactly what you mean when you say it like that. So, calling back to when Goku Black, when Trunks first went back in time after Bulma dies, getting him to the time machine to be able to use it, and Goku Black went back in time and fought Goku, Goku Black makes reference that Goku's fight with him in the past allowed him to hone his power to be able to reach Super Saiyan Rosé.
Yes, because it's part of being a Saiyan where the more, think of it like Pokemon, where the more you fight, the more experience points you get, and the more experience points leads to leveling up, hence new forms. So he didn't know that about that form, just like, what was it, Captain Ginyu, when he took on Goku's body? He's like, I just keep getting stronger no matter what I do, but man, do I get hungry. Like, there's a lot more. He looks human, but he's not. One of the better traits. And ultimate, oh yeah, speaking of the Rosé thing, it's like Vegeta gets caught up, like, in his Super Saiyan Blue form that he... You know, goes back to being Vegeta. His pride gets the best of him. And here's where I like Goku Black, okay, is that cool knife hand. It's kind of, it reminds me of Halo. Like Zamasu's got a little blue one, and then Goku Black's got the longer one. It really does remind me of Halo, not that I've ever played it much.
Yeah, so Vegeta does rock, paper, scissors with Goku. Goku loses once. He's like, aw, shucky darns. And Vegeta takes on Super Saiyan Blue form. They have a pretty cool exchange of things. Then he's like, hey, want some rosé? Because I'm going Super Saiyan Rosé. brought to you by Rosé. And then he overpowers Vegeta, and then he's like, you're just a supporting character in this. And he's like, I'm the main... And he attacks him out of anger, as Vegeta has never done before and will never do again. And he gets stabbed, as Kevin said, with like a Rosé sword, brought to you by Rosé.
No product placement here.
And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then there's the river of gushing blood, and Vegeta still somehow alive. He powers down and falls to the ground, and he says, curses foiled again.
This is one of the...
He doesn't say curses foiled
again. He should have. He really should have. This is one of the few times that you actually do see blood. Yeah, the little droplet from Trunks, you know, earlier. But Vegeta, with blood coming out of the mouth, you don't see too much blood in this... I don't want to say saga, but like this series, the whole all of Dragon Ball Super, you don't, is what I'm saying. Because series can mean season two, which we're in season two. So that.
Goku goes Super Saiyan Blue to fight Black after Vegeta gets taken out, or sidelined, maybe would be a better term. And then turns out, Super Saiyan Rosé is like still even has an edge over him, even though he's still more powerful than Vegeta is. We don't know what the margin is anymore.
The bar is
like
bent.
How much more powerful?
The bar is completely bent.
Yes.
Is just where it's at now.
Very bent.
So as Goku, Black, Rosé, this is becoming a mouthful, begins to overpower Goku, Super Saiyan Blue. And he did have his, like, knife hand out, didn't he, at this point? Like, closer to that?
Oh, he was preparing a Kamehameha, yeah, and then the voice of Zamasu from the sky says, well, I can't leave you to do this by yourself anymore. And he's like, ah, man, it's my boss from the future calling again. And then Zamasu's... comes down, and he's all, oh. I was like, the fuck? He's not Goku Black, so who the hell is Goku Black? Because I still don't know.
It makes you wonder, though. I mean, it is kind of similar. The knife hand,
yeah,
is...
Yeah, because Zamasu wants to kill Goku.
Yes, he does. And the knife hand's not a very common thing. We don't see very many energy weapons in, like, all of Dragon Ball at all, do we?
No, I don't remember there being...
I'm really struggling.
Not off the top of my head, I can't think of any.
I'm really struggling to think of any at all. I mean, the coolest one, in my opinion, would be a special beam cannon, but that's... No, wait. We're overlooking an obvious one. Destructo Disc by Krillin. That could be like a saw blade.
Oh, right. Yep.
Could be. I mean, it might be a bit of a stretch, but... We're not experts here. That's why we're doing a podcast on our own dime. So the takeaway that...
Oh, I wrote down a question. Couldn't Vegeta and Goku have used fusion to fight Goku Black?
They don't do that because it's the same reason Goku and... They stopped with the progression of Super Saiyans as far as like 1, 2, 3. Goku doesn't really go 3 anymore because what's the point when you can further hone things? Like when you perfect something like Ultra Instinct or something like that, when you perfect something you get a certain form for it. So no, not really. They just... And there's a... Where would they get the earrings from? Actually, no.
Well, I mean...
No. They promised they would never do that again.
They did?
They promised they would never do that again. I believe it was when they fought Majin Buu. They both agreed. Like, Vegeta's like, I hated sharing a body with you. And Goku's like, yeah, I did too. Can we never do that again? If Vegeta's like, promise me. I never want to do that again.
Oh, Spirit Bomb. Another... energy
yep.
weapon.
Yes. So my overall takeaway from this episode is Zamasu isn't Black. He's green. And Goku is his, which we're going from the beginning of the episode to the end. So the middle stuff was kind of unnecessary,
right.
Except for Vegeta getting stabbed, which, I mean...
Well, the next episode's pretty fucking
it
cool.
It is, yeah. And then that would be episode 57, where we find Vegeta right, so, still recovering from injuries. He gets jealous of Goku to stop Goku. He gets jealous of Goku trying to fight Zamasu, which we all knew that was coming. It's Vegeta.
Well, for a little bit, it's Goku against Zamasu and Goku Black, and I'm like, that's not fair. He can't even take one of them. And then future Trunks intervenes. He goes Super Saiyan and uses the Z Sword to stop an attack by Goku Black when they're tag teaming Goku.
And Zamasu, note, real quick though, when they do that cliche back to back thing, which I love, that's one thing I do love. I was like, oh, there's two of them. It's two versus two. Somebody do it. And then Goku and Trunks did. But anyway, speaking of like the energy weapons being rare, how rare is it to see a big battle taking place in a cityscape? Because the last one,
really rare. Usually it's
usually out in the deserts or the like wastelands. The last one off the top of my head that I could really even think of, and I've given a little bit of time now too. The last time we saw a cityscape major battle was either the Android Saga or Cell Saga. There's a blurred line there, but that's the last time I remember.
You're forgetting about all the great big fights in the Great Saiyaman Saga. Oh,
yeah, that is true. But were they really like supervillain Frieza level? Like Frieza, Cell, I'll destroy everything.
I mean, they were stealing clothes
from JCPenney.
I think, or something.
Because if it was...
Yeah, the Dragon Ball equivalent of JCPenney.
Yeah, you can't... If you're stealing clothes from, like, the Dragon Ball equivalent of Marshalls, you need to reevaluate some life decisions, but I highly doubt they would call Great Saiyaman for that. Be like, no, take it. You obviously need it. You need that $3 Under Armour shirt.
So, at what point does Zamasu reveal that his body is indestructible?
Let me see.
Because Trunks manages to like stab him through with the Z Sword, and then he just takes it out and instantly heals.
Okay, but I've even got it down in my notes here too. This way is we're overlooking the obvious. Zamasu is a divine being, though, isn't he? Okay,
yeah.
So why would he be mortal? He hates mortals, right? So why wouldn't he heal when he's hurt? He's divine.
Well, he uses the word indestructible or invincible. It's invincible,
yeah.
Right?
He's not quite on a god level, is he? I mean, the word god is...
I think so.
The level of god is being used in this whole thing pretty loosely, though. And will continue to be... used loosely.
I believe he is the Supreme Kai of the future.
Okay.
So, therefore, he, I think, is a god?
It seems like they would be.
Yeah, the dude is definitely pissing poison into Gowasu's tea.
Yeah, yeah. Not Ricky Bobby wake up in the morning and piss excellence kind of tea, though. You would definitely taste that.
Yeah, but that's good.
That's
good.
That's like
tea.
Folgers, good to the last drop, ain't it?
Yep.
So, yeah, Zamasu does go on like a little, I won't say tangent,
yeah.
But he does kind of monologue is the word I'm looking for. He does monologue for a bit. What was that?
Oh, I was going to say, I remember. His body is indestructible. We learned that because while Goku Black is powering up a Kamehameha, Zamasu grabs Goku and Trunks and like these headlocks so that he can hold them in place while the energy attack, so that the energy attack can hit them.
I love the buildup of that.
Because he knows that his body will be damaged.
I love the writing of that. It was very well done how it was, here's a reveal of something and here's a perfect execution of that ability. It really was. That kind of took me by surprise. It wasn't the classic kind of self-sacrifice that we've seen Goku do. I won't say Yamcha's ever done a self-sacrifice. He just sucks and dies by blinking.
He probably thinks that it's heroic
exactly.
At some point.
Goku in Raditz, where Piccolo did the special beam cannon all the way back in like season one.
That's actually what I was gonna say. It reminded me of season one. Is Goku DBZ. Holding Raditz?
Yeah, exactly. And it was done like two or three more times, I do believe, especially with Majin Buu. So yeah, he with that perfected body in those headlocks, they really didn't do much but just kind of knock him down because Goku's hair was still blue afterward.
Right, but they're still pretty injured. And then when is it Goku Black is getting ready to do another one, that's when Vegeta fires an energy attack by going Super Saiyan Blue again and then collapses. And that's when Yajirobe comes in and grabs Trunks and Goku and like takes them away and runs. And he's like, I couldn't have gotten the rest. No, that's Hercule. I couldn't have gotten the rest. That's still Hercule, but I'm going to go with it. I couldn't have gotten the rest of them out of there, too.
That is actually a really good Hercule, but a horrible Yajirobe. Yajirobe's like, think like Chumley. Kind of just that. Well, no, see? Oh, you. Oh, damn it. I'm doing Hercule, too. You just like want a mouthful of food. And I can't do that without having something. And I don't know. Yeah. Yajirobe's hard.
So. Yeah, Yajirobe's slightly heroic and gets a bit of a moment of redemption. Future Mai shows up with some resistance people and they fire some future tear gas. They rescue Vegeta and just put him over the back of like an ATV, like a dead soldier. Back when they like in the Frontier West, when they would just put the body of like a soldier over the back of their horse to get like 5 shillings and a halfpenny at like the nearest out like station.
What's
back
that,
then.
Steve Rinkleman? You got a broken neck? Let me just sling you over this horse and take the roughest fucking terrain I can find back to town, you stupid bastard. Like, yeah, well, it never made sense. And the first thing they tell you, anytime somebody's hurt now, don't touch their neck. Cowboys didn't do it that way, so why should I? But those are, good old days.
So somehow Vegeta's not super fucking dead. They have enough time goo to get in the time goo machine, and then Trunks is like, no, Mai, don't leave again for, don't stay again for dramatic reasons. And she says, but I have to stay for dramatic reasons. And then because of how weakened they are, Zamasu and Goku Black can't sense their energy. And then by the time that they do, the time goo machine goes back in time. And they're like, ah, darn, I guess we'll have to find another way to get them. And then back in the 10th universe in the present, Zamasu sees the recording of the 6th and 7th universe tournament and sees, is it Hit?
Yes.
The name of that assassin?
I second-guessed myself looking at it too, but then I saw in there a couple of frames where he had his hands in his pockets. Yeah, it was Hit.
Yeah, Hit versus Goku from, if you look back,
Tournament of the Gods. And you asked me.
Yeah, Tournament of the Gods.
You asked me a couple of days ago what other movies there were in Dragon Ball Super. The Tournament of the Gods was one, but it was kind of included into the series.
Okay. And then Gowasu's like, hey, do you want to watch this porn? No, I mean, fighting?
It is. It's Saiyan porn.
Well, I mean, the old Kai is into
They're
porn.
All in, they, what? It, yeah, it's like, who's the most perverted? Hey, we're going to promote you. You're in charge of everything. Like, you're the ultimate peeping Tom because you're billions of light years away, yet you could see everything. Doesn't leave much to the imagination when you could see, like, okay, I'm kind of curious now that I'm thinking about it. You put my brain in the gutter. Now I want to see those barbarous barbarians acting barbaric, doing it bareback.
In Barbados with Beerus.
Oh, man.
And some bestiality.
Minding their
own
beeswax is what they're doing, I'll tell you.
Some Burt's Bees minding, yeah.
Burt's Beeswax is always better on a beach. Boy, howdy.
In Barbados with
bitches.
The barbarous Barbary Barbary Coast.
Bitches butt-chugging beer.
Yeah.
That's about all we're, yep.
So then Gowasu's like, yeah, they fought over the Super Dragon Balls. And he's like, the Super Dragon Balls? What are those? And he's like, well, they'll grant you any wish you
want. Listen, kid, they're a giant.
I want any wish I want.
He's like, listen, kid, they're a giant pain in the ass. I'm not even, don't even fucking get me started on this whole shit again. But of course, we're going there. Hell yeah. What, okay, what could be so powerful of a wish that Zamasu needs the Super Dragon Balls? Is it the fact that he's just introduced to the Super Dragon Balls and doesn't know about, like, the individual little ones? Or is, does he have something big in mind, do you think?
What's the difference in the scale of wishes that the Super Dragon Balls versus the regular ones?
That is a good question. Like, if you wanted to bring a whole planet back, like Namek, you would need the Super Dragon Balls. Wait, Shenron did that, didn't he?
I think so. I know he's brought entire planetary populations of people back to life, like at the end of the Buu saga.
But wasn't that like one of those loophole wishes where it's like, what's your first wish? Okay, I want everybody who Frieza killed to come back and be unharmed. Well, if Frieza killed the planet, they got to bring back the planet too, wouldn't they?
I don't know. I don't think the writers thought about it.
I do believe that is one of those times where it's like you get three wishes with Shenron, but something that big is only one.
Because with Shenron, you get three, yes, right?
But he can do really big ones for as it just charge you one wish.
I Googled the difference between Super Dragon Balls and regular Dragon Balls, and I got Super Shenron is the second Eternal Dragon with wings. The first was Black Smoke Shenron. Unlike Black Smoke Shenron, Super Shenron's wings are actually connected to his arms. And I'm like, what a way to not answer my question.
Well, I've got something different. Well, of course, using Bing, I'm always going to get something irrelevant. It says Shenron is what I typed in, and I get a small picture of him, and it says no limits. Or yeah, what the I typed in Shenron limits on wish granting, and it says no limits. This is in spite of Shenron saying there are no limits to the wish he can grant. Shenron is also capable of granting only a partial amount of the normal wishes after his upgrade. In this case, if less than the full amount of wishes are required, he will depart and scatter the Dragon Balls across the globe once more. That reads like magic directions to me. I have no idea what I just read out loud.
Oh, this one fan post on Quora says the Super Dragon Balls can grant stronger wishes.
Yeah, but what's defined stronger, though? That's the question.
I don't know, Kevin.
Yeah,
it's a good question.
Type it into Bing. Maybe ask Jeeves. Yahoo it.
Okay, I'll have to look this up at a later time, because I'm sure the good folks at home do not want to hear us just
typing away.
Doing Google foo.
That's
just
our,
typing
that's
away. We'll do some research and get back to you all on that.
We're just going
to
do an ASMR side channel where it's just Google searches, and then we're going to be like, pineapple. Okay, so this turned up what it is. This is a pineapple, and it's just us typing on mechanical keyboards.
Well, that is a... We're going to come up with a visual acuity test for people to... Like, there's going to be a picture of a pineapple and a picture of a bowling ball or something that is not a pineapple, and which one is the pineapple?
Okay, so I...
Is it the one on the left or the one on the right?
To round off the question, though, I did manage to find... It says, the question is, why is Shenron's power limited? Basically, the last sentence answers it all. And it is what we thought. As the Dragon Ball saga continued into Goku's adulthood, restrictions to the Dragon Ball's power were needed to ensure the heroes didn't have an easy ride. So it's just for fucking writing purposes that the Super Dragon Balls exist, essentially. Which, of course, I mean, if you want to continue something on like The Walking Dead and go for a 20-year, 30-year run like Dragon Ball as a whole has been doing, it kind of stretched that out. I mean, it took 3 fucking episodes for him to turn Super Saiyan for the first time, and that was only supposed to be 3 minutes. Still remember that, but it was not a disappointment.
Hey, thankfully The Walking Dead is almost over.
Still is not when they have new forms. Yeah, I kind of gave up after... I didn't even finish Negan. I've caught...
Oh, well...
I've caught some of the newer ones, but...
Maybe I'm a glutton for punishment. I'm fully caught up.
Oh, you're recent? Oh, no. Dude, you could say... I can watch the newest episodes and be like, oh, so that's what's going on? Oh, that person's dead? Oh, that sucks. Where the fuck is Rick?
Oh, he
just left.
Well, he blew up a bridge that they were going to build some communities together, and he had to blow it up because walkers, he falls on some rebar off of his horse and has to hobble to the bridge, and then he blows up the bridge to stop this giant herd of walkers to be able to get to one of the towns. And then Michonne, who he was in a relationship with, he floats down the river, and then someone in a helicopter picks him up when he's nearly dead by the side of a riverbed, and he hasn't shown up since.
Outstanding. I'm glad.
And then Michonne wanted to be written off the show to go do other stuff, denied Guerrera, because I think she's also a playwright. She was like, I don't want to be on the show too. Can that happen? And they're like, sure. And so then she left the show too.
Well, I mean, go on to bigger, better things now that, you know, you got your start. The guy from Isaacs, something, Oscar Isaacs or some nonsense like that. The guy from Star Wars, he played Poe. Yeah, Poe Dameron. He's off doing Moon Knight or whatever. I don't think they got renewed for a season 2. It wasn't his acting. It was just like a bad money grab, more or less. But, you know, you get the idea. The guy that played Finn... He actually is out doing a lot more, and it's all because they just got that foot in the door with I mean, of all things, Star Wars, but regardless, it can only take one movie, one event, you know, and you're set.
Yeah, John Boyega, I think, is who you're talking about.
Yes, the guy that played Finn.
Yep. All right, well, yes. All right, well, I don't really have anything else. That's the end of my notes, and that gets us through the end of 57. So they get back to the past. They're like, oh, no, Vegeta, medical attention. And then, so I guess they're going to probably go into the hyperbolic time chamber, spend some time just training to get stronger, and then use the time goo to go back to the future, part 3.
1885. It does end with Zamasu travels to somewhere and demands the person tell them everything they know about the Super Dragon Balls. I used to know what that thing person's name is. It's got a big head. It's like, hey, Arnold, or Stewie.
Oh, it's Stoop Kid, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Stoop Kid won't leave a stoop.
Stoop Kid's Stoop Kid's afraid to leave a stoop, you know.
Yeah. Always football head. Yeah, we all know somebody like Stoop Kid, and we all know who the voice of Stoop Kid was. Who's not doing anything now.
Yes.
It's one of those, hey.
Well, he's afraid to leave a stoop.
He is. You know who, Beerus fell off his stoop. When Goku came back and he's like, yeah, remember?
We did?
And he's like, that's right. Yeah, yep. Zenny was good. And he's like, did you just say Zenny? And he's like, Goku's breaking all the rules, but everyone's treating him like he's special needs, so he can break the rules. I'm serious. Like, of all of them, go back to episode 56. Yeah, 56. He just.
No, I think it's just that everybody's afraid of Grand Zeno.
Oh.
And he just wants a friend.
Yeah, because the guards, when Goku came over to, like, handshake, give Zeno a handshake, and he's, like, instead moving him through the air, the guards came over, and Zeno just looks at them both. He's like, stop or go bye-bye. And they're like, no. But it's just such a good delivery from him. It was like...
We like breathing. Please don't.
Yeah, the delivery that Zeno did was just so perfect on it, though. Like, he sounds like a little kid and just wants to...
go back or be destroyed.
He's so playful, kind of like Majin Buu. But then at the same time, the dumber they sound, like Goku again, the dumber they sound, the more powerful they are. What do they call it? Idiot savant?
Something like that as an archetype or trope, yeah.
Yep, it's at R muscular.
Yes. All right, well, that's all I've got.
All on me.
So anything we need to add? All right, well, we will see you all next time on Relative Rewind. Well, we will watch more Dragon Ball Super and tell you about it, and also directions about how to get free high fives.
Yep, it's a great way to spend a Saturday afternoon. Bring the kids. It's a family-friendly affair.
They don't even have to be your kids. You can just take them from someone else.
Yeah, just go to Kmart.
Nay, I'd say it's required.
Yeah, go to a Kmart, 2:30 on a Tuesday. Just grab a kid.
You just said Saturday.
I know.
We're contradicting ourselves.
You
got to
grab them on a Tuesday because, if you're shopping on a Tuesday at 2:30, damn it. School's back in session. You deserve to be took. I'm just saying. Liam Neeson ain't going to care about you. 2:30 on a Tuesday. Rolling around the floor of a Target.
This is a very specific time to... You said Kmart.
I just was thinking of Rick Sanchez. You leave your kids to roll around on the floor of a Target, they're going to get stepped on. I would kick them, but that's my preference.
That's fair.
Rick and Morty, Wormageddon.
Oh, yep, Rick and Morty's
season
6
is coming up.
Like tonight, I think.
I think it's October.
No, it's tonight. I saw the I booked.
No
it.
Way.
I'm gonna have to
yeah. renew my Hulu subscription and watch all of it.
It's on tonight. You could probably just watch it on the Adult Swim website.
You know,
that's how I watch it.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say Cartoon Network is not on basic cable anymore, which is bullshit.
Yeah, that's bullshit. And also listen to our other podcast. What's happening with cable, where we talk about things that's happening in the world of cable. What's on cable? What's not on cable? What channels
you'll
are
know
on
it's
cable?
Ours you'll know
Who
it's
knows?
Our show by the
we
thumbnail
do.
Which is a tombstone, because cable is dead.
Well, it is, and now streaming is turning back into cable, so it's yet another example of the Ouroboros.
Corporate America.
Cable was killed to make streaming, and now streaming is
you
becoming
know what I'm
cable.
Gonna do I'm gonna make a couple more Anchor commercials, and I'm just gonna put them in our episodes randomly, because everything, you're right, everything is turning into cable, so I'm just gonna fill ours with monetary ads, so everyone gets a comfort feeling of, oh, it's been 30 seconds, time for a 10-minute break and enjoy a commercial.
Yeah, you just trained yourself to be ready for, oh, there's the commercial. Whew, I was worried I wouldn't get
really
one.
It's just a the whole premise of the separate podcast is just, it's just to slam you with ads. Okay. It's a podcast about ads, but there's some talking about how much cable and ads suck in there, but you know, it's like,
well, you know how much ads suck. Time to go to an ad break.
Can I get an ad about sucking? Those are the ones that lead you down the wrong kind of rabbit hole. And that's how you find our show.
Well, we want people to find our show, so go down that wrong turn, that dark alley, that cordoned off hallway at the abandoned
turn
hospital.
Turn over every manhole cover you can find. Jump in every mud puddle that's available. Find a windowless van and knock on that sliding door. That's how you find us.
That's how you find happiness.
Give it brought to you by Free High Fives.
Brought to you by Doritos.
Shameless plug day. I mean, there's worse kind of plugs.
It always has to be something that has nothing to do with what we're actually talking about.
I really want to make like a quick little commercial where it's like for flaming hot Doritos and actually light them on fire, because you know how flammable a Dorito is because of the seasonings. It's like sizzles. Yeah,
probably
it is.
Pretty
it
damn
is.
Flammable.
It's like, no, it's actually, it is. It's a great fire starter. If you're going to hike in the woods, bring a bag of Doritos. We need to...
And some water.
No more free ads. We drop like 5 every single show.
5 every single minute.
Well, it's good to the last drop, Maxwell House. But personally, I'm Team Red, Folgers.
It's bad till the first drop, Starbucks.
Get hooked on the first drop, heroin.
Available in your coffee, if you want.
Oh, we're just making all the wrong left turns, aren't we? Leading us out of the alleys, out of the shadows.
Well, and on that note, that's going to close us out for this time on Relative Rewind. We're back. We're better. We're
uncensored and don't care. Well, we'd care.
Yeah.
We care about
you. We do
you,
care.
Our gentle listeners.
You know who else cares about you? Also, insurance.
It's really progressive of.
Maybe not in the way really you want, but we can ensure that they got you covered. Allstate.
It's a really progressive ad of you to do. I mean, in this time of uncertainty.
Oh, well, I thought it up while I was in the State Farm.
In this time of certainty, it's always great to be in the best hands.
Yep.
Are you in good hands?
I mean, there's nothing farmers haven't seen. Yep, they cover it. And I don't think we can add any more free ads.
Yeah, I'm out of insurance commercials. We have to end.
Until next time, I'm Kevin.
I'm
this
Cameron.
Is relative...
This has been Relative Rewind.
Stay weird.
This is Hercule telling you that Allstate's got your back.